Well, a few years ago, my nephew, Robbie, who was eager to get a move on his birthday preparations, he took it upon himself to write out invitation cards and to pass them on to his entire grade. It was like two classes, which did not jive with his parents' expectation that this would be an intimate gathering of 4 to 5 kids who would fit into the family minivan and the family budget for this event. It was a bit of a frustrating situation. But later that week, my sister-in-law got a phone call that changed things for her. The person calling was the mother of a little boy in Robbie's class. And it turns out that this child, who was a little different, had never in his entire life been invited to a birthday party from a friend at school. This was grade 5. And the mother was in tears. "Thank you for inviting my son," she said. "Thank you for including him. You have no idea what this means." Well, whenever I think about the topic of God's invitation, the subject that we're going to be looking at during our Lenten small groups, I always think of this story of my nephew Robbie and his crazy generosity. Robbie's throwing a party. It's going to be the best ever, and everyone is invited. Doesn't that remind you just a bit of God's deep generosity to us and to all people? God, who is always inviting us to join him at the richness of his banqueting table. Everyone is invited. Nobody is excluded. Well, this Lent, I am inviting you to consider joining one of our small groups, which for 6 weeks will be exploring this topic of invitation. In this series, we look at how we, a people who have been generously and with wild generosity, welcomed and invited by God, are called to live our lives in this same spirit of hospitality and invitation. And certainly the theme of invitation is one that we see throughout the Gospels. Jesus was always issuing invitations. "Are you thirsty for living waters? Come to me and drink. Are you like sheep without a shepherd? Come and follow me. Are you weary and heavy laden? Come to me and I will give you rest. Are you worried about your future? Come to me, blessed one, and inherit the kingdom." Invitation is also a theme that we hear throughout the Old Testament, including our reading from Isaiah this morning. It's a passage that, to me, beautifully illustrates the goodness and the generosity of God's invitation to you and me. To launch this small group series, I wanted to focus this morning on God's generous invitation to us. And after that gem from Isaiah last week, Isaiah 43, I decided, why don't we just continue on a roll and stick with the Old Testament? If you were here last week, you'll remember that in chapter 43 of Isaiah, God was speaking a word of hope to the Jewish people who were then living in exile. And God was claiming them as his own. Remember that beautiful passage? "Do not fear, for I am with you. I have called you by name. You are mine." God was claiming them and promising that he would give them a fresh start, a new beginning, that the past could not have a hold on them anymore. And I explained that that's the work of redemption. That's God's project throughout history of redeeming a people with a bad past and opening them for them a good future. In chapters 54 of Isaiah and following, God begins to talk about this even bigger project of redemption that he has in mind. a project that will bring blessings to everybody, to all peoples, to all nations, throughout all time. And in our chapter today, we hear God issue his invitation. If you want, I'm just preaching from this passage. You may want to follow along in your Old Testament. It's page 645. But I'll read it for you again. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You that have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. Now, as we listen to and look at again this passage, notice that God invites two different kinds of people. The first group are thirsty and hungry people who know that they have a need, but they cannot pay for what they want. And I imagine all of us have been this kind of person at some point in our life, where everything good that we long for is always just out beyond our reach. And God says to people like us in those situations, you are exactly the kind of person that I am looking for. You are the one that I want to come to my banquet. The other kind of person is at the other end of the spectrum. This person has money. He's strong. He has the ability to work and to provide. And in fact, he may not even be hungry. He might not even be thirsty. I remember having a conversation with a man in a parish when I was a curate, just starting off. And he said to me that he just couldn't relate to sermons that were about God comforting, God healing, God drawing the poor and the needy, because he was very honest. He said, you know, my life is pretty sweet. I have a job I love, good income. I've got a beautiful wife and a happy marriage, and we've got 4 beautiful kids. They had just been blessed after 3 girls with a little red-headed boy, cute as a button. He said, you know, I'm just really happy. I'm really content. And after chatting a while, he wondered whether for him, the temptation in his life was going to be allowing his good life, the good life that he was blessed with, to prevent him from fully engaging with God's invitation to him to come. And he said to me, and I never forget these words, he said, maybe I need a little bit of thirsting in my life, he said. I remember that conversation recently when someone asked me, it was a strange question, they said, what do you think people in Oshawa are searching for? I said, I don't know. So after that initial uninspiring answer, I gave it some thought and I said, well, maybe people in Oshawa, I think what people are chasing after is the good life, the good life. People are going to define that differently. I said, I think for some people, maybe the good life is success at work or material success, having a cottage, having a boat, having dream trips. For other people, it's going to be family. For others still, it's going to be their kids being successful in a certain way. Everyone defines the good life differently, but I think everyone, to a certain degree, is chasing after a vision of the good life. And I suppose in one way, in this passage, we hear that even though there's actually a lot of goodness to be found all around us, and many of us, like just God-given goodness, think of family, without God in the picture, they kind of miss the mark. And in fact, I think that verse 2 is very interesting. In our consumerist society, there are sometimes false visions of the good life that deceive us as to what they can offer. And in our consumer society, you know, we hear the story, if I can just have that car, if I can just have the right house, then I'll be satisfied. To which God says, why do you spend your money for bread which is no bread? Why do you labor for dreams that do not satisfy? So in answer to the question, who does God invite? It turns out God invites everyone, right? God invites those who don't know they have a need. God invites those who do not, who know that they're needy and helpless, but they can't provide what they need. And those who are strong and are already satisfied. God invites us all. And to them and to us, God offers three things in this passage from Isaiah. It's interesting. Water, wine, and milk. Liquids. God offers us liquids. But those liquids are symbolic. Why water? Well, I think when you are thirsty, like in a dehydrated kind of way, water is the only thing you really want. Mostly through stupidity on my part, I was twice during my time working in Africa very severely, dangerously dehydrated. And I can tell you, if you have never been dehydrated, not a recommended experience. Your mouth gets dry like paper, your heart starts to beat really quickly, you feel weak, and you get a massive headache. And the only thing you can think about is how good that first gulp of water is going to be when you can finally get your hands on safe water to drink. And I think spiritually, emotionally in our lives, there are times like that when we are just barely hanging on. Times when our troubles are so big, they are the only thing that we can think about. There are times when, too, when we feel just exhausted, when we're emotionally, we're just shriveled up on the inside like a dried raisin. And God says that He is the living water that will refresh us and restore us so that we do not faint. I think the gift of milk suggests the gift of nourishment and growth. I remember when Jamie was a baby. He was born and he was big and plump. I love chubby babies. He had the rolls of fat, and I used to shake his legs just to watch the rolls jiggle.
I'm sure he's going to love this one.
But Jamie was also a projectile vomiter. And, yeah, lots of fun, let me tell you, especially in the middle of the night. And in the space of just 3 months, Jamie went from, babies aren't overweight, but he went from very plump to scarily thin. And although, of course, we needed to give water to Jamie to keep him dehydrated, the doctors said, I don't care how you get milk into this kid. Nursing, bottle feeding, spooning it in, having him drink from a coffee mug. This kid needs nourishment. He needs to get milk or formula milk. To a people who long to be strong and spiritually and emotionally mature, God says, I am the nourishing milk that offers you all that you need to grow into healthy and strong people. A people after my own heart. I love the Psalms, and Psalm 104 talks about the gift of wine. Wine that gladdens human hearts. Now, of course, for anyone who's addicted, wine takes away gladness, right? There can be such a thing as too much of a good thing. It takes away gladness from the person with the addiction and for those around him. But the image of wine is meant to represent the goodness of pleasure and the abundance and the enjoyment of life. Jesus said that he came so that we might have life and have life to the full. And God is the wine that gladdens our hearts and that opens us to the fullness of life that he offers in Jesus. I started by telling you the story of the exuberant generosity of my nephew Robbie in inviting his whole grade to his birthday party. And I wanted to finish with the story of another kind of invitation to a party. Jesus told this story. There was a similar generous invitation sent to people wide and far. The invitation comes. The welcome is sure. The party is going to be the best. But many of the guests decide not to come. There's something on Netflix that they've been wanting to see. They want to squeeze in a few more hours of work because it's easier just to lounge at home than to get dressed up and to come to the party. And so many don't come, Jesus tells us, and they turn down the invitation of a lifetime. And that's always the challenge for us, the challenge that this reading of Isaiah also leaves us with. God genuinely invites everyone to come. No one is excluded. And it's going to be good, this life with God, but as to whether or not we respond, the choice is always ours. Come, buy, eat, drink, God says. Even though the food is free, isn't it interesting that the word buy is used? It's free, you don't need to buy it. And I don't think it's just a poetic choice that that word is used there. Because I think buying implies a choice, right? Buying implies a choice. We choose this when we buy something. We choose to buy this, and therefore we're choosing not to buy something else. In buying, we decide, this is what I want. This is what I need. And then God calls us, who are hungry and thirsty, to do what? To eat and drink. If you think about it, that's a strange thing to have to tell somebody who's dying of thirst, somebody who's starving, to have to say, eat, drink. But for anyone here who is a consumer, you'll know about the iceberg lettuce in your crisper that goes bad and ends up just being thrown out at the end of the week with the compost. You'll know about the shirt that gets worn once and then gets pushed to the back of the closet. Come, buy, eat, and drink. God is telling you and me, he's telling our friends, he's telling the world, don't miss out on this party. Don't turn down this invitation. And come and eat from my table and drink from my cup of wine. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Loving God, I thank you for my nephew, Robbie, for his big heart, for the example that he sets for us of your generosity towards us. And we thank you for the little boy who, through that invitation, experienced inclusion and welcome in his young life. And Father, we think of friends and family, neighbors, people we don't know in this city of Oshawa, who maybe like this boy long to be welcomed, long to be included, long to belong. Father, we pray that you would help us to be people who extend your welcome. Welcome to people who visit us here. Welcome to those we know who are hungry and thirsty and who are longing for you. Thank you that you are water that satisfies, that you are milk that nourishes, and that you are wine that gladdens our hearts. And Father, we come this day to accept your invitation with grateful and glad hearts. And all these things we pray in gratitude to your Son. Amen.
Amen.